Back together again, you and I, chatting it up Tuesday style, January 27th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. We welcome to Connecticut Inside investigator reporter Mark Fitch back to the show to explain the latest twist in a growing controversy allegedly involving millions of taxpayer dollars and a veteran state lawmaker. Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio joined us to chat about a couple of her recent columns and what's coming up in the General Assembly, while I had a few thoughts at the start of the show about voter behavior in Connecticut, bringing you the news you need to know, especially if you're a taxpayer like, I don't know, just about everyone is in this state. Surely our next guest is, as well, Mark Fitch, a well-known reporter, currently for the Connecticut Inside Investigator, and we have a story here that now has tentacles. It's getting curiouser and curiouser. It started with a well-known state legislator for years, and now it's got a couple of other angles to it. Hey, Mark, it's Paul. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, Paul. I'm still digging out.
You all right? Is everything visible at Casa de Fitch? Everything is all right? You dug out yet? Right? Everything good?
Yeah. Oh. No, I'm good. I'm looking out. It's snowing again. So
yeah, great. Yeah. And by the way, you should probably look at the weekend forecast, but we'll get to that later.
I know.
Anyway, okay, Mark. So we had this story that was rumbling for a couple of weeks regarding Doug McCrory. And now this has devolved into the governor saying, hey, why don't you step back from leadership? There's a couple of things going on here. McCrory tells him to go pound sand. Bob Duff, Martin Looney tell him to go pound sand. And now you have a story here, kind of tantamount to that loose connection here, over $1 million in taxpayer funds to a nonprofit unaccounted for. Mark Fitch, explain to my listeners what's going on here.
Yeah, so that whole dust-up between Governor Lamont and McCrory, you know, came about when this forensic audit was released by the Department of Economic and Community Development. It was a look into the Blue Hills Civic Association and what went wrong there, how money was dispersed. And basically what happened was the Blue Hills Civic Association was being used as a pass-through. So DECD would give a bunch of money to them, and then they would funnel a bunch of money to other organizations. And this was largely done at the direction of Senator McCrory. And, you know, a lot of the money went to an organization called Shiva, which is run by Sansary Cicero, who McCrory supposedly had a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's been out there for a while. It was a lot of money. But in this story, I focused on a bunch of money that went to a foundation called the Prosperity Foundation that was run by another close associate of Senator McCrory's. And what I found was it's very odd because it all kind of happens around the year 2024. Blue Hills Civic Association gives the Prosperity Foundation $1.1 million.
Okay.
According to the auditors, $770,000 of that is unaccounted for. What I found in going through the Prosperity Foundation's tax records is they say they sent $486,000 back to the Blue Hills Civic Association, but the auditors only found that, you know, that Blue Hills was supposed to get $60,000. It's this very weird. So like, where's the $486,000? Where'd
it
go?
Yeah.
There's no mention of it in the audit. There's no records of it, you know? So it's this very weird circular funding thing as the money goes around the merry-go-round here, it seems to get lost.
And we should mention, Mark, up front, that to be fair here, nobody's been, I mean, you know, there was an FBI probe of this, or it's ongoing, I guess, but Senator McCrory, we should mention, to be fair, he is not facing any sort of criminal charges or even the inference of that at this point, correct?
At this point, and he has denied any wrongdoing.
This is interesting. So in that kind of circular blowback or drawback or comeback for that funding, Mark, you know, I don't know, is there an inference there by maybe some people looking at this that there's a kickback going on here, or maybe that's where the missing money went, or does anybody really know anything on this of where it could be?
Nobody has any idea, you know, and so like the auditors, they were looking specifically at the Blue Hills Civic Association. And what they found was, you know, there was some, you know, strange spending going on by the Prosperity Foundation that was reporting back to Blue Hills. But what they found there said, you know, the Prosperity Foundation had awarded a $60,000 grant to Blue Hills in 2024. Also in 2024, the Prosperity Foundation says in its tax filings that it gave a grant of $486,000 to Blue Hills. So somewhere there is a missing $456,000 or something like that. You know, part of the problem was Blue Hills' financial record keeping was fairly abysmal. And so the forensic auditors are trying to play catch up with, you know, a bunch of documentation that's not really done very well. And, you know, a bunch of employees who have been laid off and probably don't want to talk to them. That's part of the problem. But I went over it, you know, 100 times, you know, trying to figure out what I was missing here. But, you know, where'd the money go? It's not, you know, and the money that the forensic auditors, you know, discussed that Prosperity Foundation hadn't accounted for about $770,000. Like this is a lot. This is, starts to all add up. And so like there's the missing 770, there's the missing 486. I mean, where did it go? And nobody seems to have really any answers for that.
And Mark, this forensic audit, was that part and parcel of the other investigation that's going on from the state auditors or the original audit and the rumblings with the FBI? Was that part of this?
So this audit was ordered after the FBI started subpoenaing documents, and the news media outlets, including us at Inside Investigators, started publishing what we had found regarding Senator McCrory and Sheba and Sansre Cicero, which has occupied probably most of the news coverage. So the DECD underwent this forensic audit of Blue Hills, and you know, they actually delayed it so that they could account for the same time period that the FBI is looking into.
It
just came out, you know, last week. I mean, if you read through it, it is a damning document. I mean, it is brutal. I mean, there is, you know, $250,000 for an internship program that didn't exist.
How can I get that? How can I get that internship?
I probably read the thing three times.
Yeah,
I just kept going over it, being like, "Oh my God!"
Wow.
You know, there was $50,000 in scholarship funds, of which, you know, there were supposed to be $1,000 scholarship funds, and Sheba is writing out checks to themselves essentially for it. It's the level of. What was revealed in that audit is fairly astounding.
And Mark, finally, to wrap up here, we should note that I guess Howard Cahill responded to you folks with no comment, correct?
Well, correct. And I don't blame him.
Okay.
You know, if you're, because he is also, his organization is included in that federal subpoena and the FBI investigation. So nobody, anybody with a brain is not going to say anything when you're under federal investigation.
Or a good lawyer, right?
Or a lawyer, yeah,
absolutely. All right, folks, you want to hear more about this and the great investigations they do with the Inside Investigator, check it out. We have their podcast on, I think, this Sunday at 6:30, twice a month podcast right here on WICC. Again, folks, check it out. I'll post this on the Facebook page. Over $1 million in taxpayer funds to a nonprofit unaccounted for. Our buddy Mark Fitch here. Mark, thanks. Appreciate it, man. Keep me up to date on this, okay?
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And, of course, every Tuesday this time, it's Megan Portfolio from the Hartford Portfolio, YankeeInstitute.org. This fine person will, in a matter of days, have CTN fired up on not one screen but two. You told me last week you do have a dual screen set up, and you'll actually be reading if they do any nonsense in the short session. You'll have to read all that, won't you? Good afternoon, Ms. Portfolio.
Why couldn't I just enjoy my last few days of sanity?
Because deep down you love this, right?
I do really love it.
If you had the choice of streaming something from Netflix or watching some backbench Democrat in the state house, you'd go for the latter and not the former. I know you would.
Absolutely.
And you'll be on a text string with somebody going, "Hey, get a load of this one," right?
Oh, my God. How do you know? Do you have cameras in my house?
I can't believe she just said that. Two things you wrote about over the last week or so. Number one, I guess now, Megan, what the feds are telling states and maybe telling Connecticut, hey, don't do this unemployment compensation stuff for strikers. What's going on with that?
Yeah, essentially, the federal government clarified the rules for unemployment insurance and who can get it. And essentially they're saying that this is not a GoFundMe for labor disputes.
Yeah.
You have to either, you know, be looking for a job, be ready to work for a job. And if you're out on strike, you're not able to, you know, meet those requirements because your loyalty is to your employer. You're just in a labor dispute. And once that dispute's done, you're going to go back to work for that employer.
Mm-hmm.
So the federal government is saying, being on a picket line does not count for looking for a job and you are not qualified to get unemployment insurance. Now, they didn't come out and say, if you are on strike, you cannot get unemployment insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But they just clarified that being on strike and not looking for a job and not being available to work elsewhere exempts you from that.
And you have a scenario here of what? Now, I remember this didn't pass last session. Now, do we think this is going to come up here in the short session or not?
I've heard rumblings yes and rumblings no.
Yeah.
They've tried it a few times. They tried to actually get them to get unemployment insurance, and then the previous year they tried to create a slush fund for them with taxpayer dollars. I was not about that at all. They could do it, and if they do, there's going to be huge, huge, huge penalties for employers. Right now, the federal tax on unemployment, it's 6% mm-hmm. for $7,000
yeah.
of your employee's salary. If we were to give unemployment insurance to striking workers, the federal government, which currently subsidizes this, they
sure.
subsidize it. They reward states that are in compliance.
Yeah.
And that 6% gets dropped down to 0.6%.
Ah.
So if we were to do that, all of our employers won't get that subsidy anymore, and they'll be having to do 6%. So, I mean, right now it could be a difference between, you know, like $42 a worker or mm-hmm. $420 a worker, and it adds up. The other caveat is the federal government also gives us money to manage our system internally.
Yeah.
That money would go away. And that money helps with the actual infrastructure. It helps with staffing, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it would really put us in a bad spot.
And I mean, there's no way they would do this in an election year. Would they? I mean, because to me, and I could be wrong on this, Megan, but whomever would be and will end up being the Republican candidate, I mean, this is a ready-made issue, wouldn't you think?
I mean, it's a ready-made, I mean, doesn't matter what your party is. It's
yeah.
a matter of right or wrong. I think it's a great campaign issue, you know, saying that they won't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an election year, and certain people like to get the support from, you know, big labor. They do a lot of work for campaigns. They do door knocking. They send out mailers. They do endorsements. So, I mean, it just depends on who's, you know,
mm-hmm.
on your team.
Yeah.
I can't really say.
The other thing you wrote about is the proliferation now of teacher labor folks, teachers and union folks that are showing up more and more, I guess, duly elected on some of these boards of education around the state, correct?
Oh, it's not just boards of education. It's
yeah.
boards of finance.
Okay.
It's selectmen, town councils.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking about your teacher who wants to go and do something for their community and participate civically.
Yeah.
I am not talking about that individual. I am talking about a coordinated effort from the Connecticut Educators Association, CEA. Someone had sent this to me in their members magazine. They came out and said they had 57 members elected all across the state this past election. It's a 250% increase from 2023. And like I said, these aren't just, you know, one-offs, you know, Jane wants to, you know, do something better for her community.
Yeah.
These candidates, they're recruited by the union. They're screened.
Yeah.
They fill out questionnaires.
Okay.
And then they're put through training from their national union, the NEA.
Training.
So this is a coordinated effort to get into our local government.
Yeah.
And this is where the red flag should go up. School boards negotiate union contracts.
Yeah.
So if I'm a teacher, I'm actually negotiating my contract for my friends and my family. Finance boards approve these contracts. So if you have the union in charge of the finance board, I'm actually approving these contracts. And the if they're, you know, on the council, they're selectmen, you know, they you know, do spending priorities. So they basically shape where your tax dollars are going.
Yeah. And like, you know, legally in the court system, I mean, for example, a judge would have to recuse his or herself from a case like a business case that's happened in history where, well, you know, some judge has shares of that company in his or her stock portfolio. They can't rule on that case. So you would think something would be similar here, but I guess not.
If I came on the show and I wrote an article about Eversource is now sitting on Pura, the entire state would erupt.
Yeah.
And there's just no different.
Yeah. 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 So you have moles in the teachers union. Is this how it works? Like,
I can't tell you that, but I have friends in low places.
You do. Okay. All right. Before we wrap up, but you know what I'm going to ask you? How is he? How's the dog?
Oh my goodness. So it snowed, if you hadn't noticed, over the weekend. So me being a good dog mom went outside and shoveled little spots all over the grass.
Yeah.
For the little prince, and he was being such a prima donna. He's like, I don't feel like doing my business.
He doesn't want to do that. No.
And there's like 2 feet of snow. I mean, no one's gone out and shoveled yet or done their snow blowing. So and the snow was over his head. So it was interesting weekend with the dog.
Have you looked at the forecast for Sunday?
I heard it was going to snow again. I'm like, buddy, you're going to have to get used to it. You're just going to have to go where you can go.
You probably have to have a sit down with
him
about Sunday. No. Okay. All right, folks, check it out. The Hartford Portfolio, Megan Portfolio, YankeeInstitute.org. Megan, thank you. Stay warm and we'll chat down the road. Thank you, ma'am.
All right, bye.
All right, bye. There you go. You know, there's some things I just can't figure out. I have a general idea. But there are some things, the more I watch and the more I listen, the more I look, the more I read, I it's just stuff that I try to figure out that in the end I just kind of have to shrug my shoulders and say, I don't know, I have no idea, I can't figure this out. Let's start with this today. And in about 5 minutes, I'm going to put a link up on our Facebook page. So a lot of you folks who join in our discussions daily, you know what the Facebook page is, facebook.com/Voice of Connecticut. That takes you to the WICC Voice of Connecticut Facebook page where I tend to put some of the articles I'm talking about. And I'm going to post one up there in just a bit. And it is an excellent piece done by the Hartford Business Journal. Now, I would urge you to read it as soon as you can because it may go behind the paywall. And I read this story, and I read it a couple of times. It's very well done. To me, it's very fair. It's very even-handed. And after I read this story, I just had a question, and it's our question of the day. Why do people, and we'll start out with a question, then I'll go into my explainer here. Why do people knowingly vote for candidates who will raise their taxes and other costs like insurance, fees, and fuel? Why is that? And then a lot of these people will bitch and moan and whine and complain and everything, yet You will vote for a party. You will vote for an existing leadership in Hartford that has done nothing but raise taxes and raise fees and raise the little nickel dime stuff that many of you will vote for. And then you'll call my show and other shows around the state in Hartford, New Haven, Danbury, New London outies, and you'll whine and complain. Why would you do that? Now, you may say, well, what's this have to do with that story, Paul? It's written in the Hartford Business Journal. And the headline is this, and if this doesn't summarize Connecticut, I don't know what does. I just don't know what does. Businesses warn health insurance requirements are driving up premiums and fueling calls for scrutiny. Now, one thing the Democratic leadership in Hartford has done for years is kowtow to and kiss the asses of certain groups in Hartford by saying, well, we will add something, an insurance mandate, meaning that any insurance that we allow to be sold here in Connecticut has to cover something that women love or the gay community loves or drug abusers love or whatever, or you have to pay for this testing or that testing. So in other words, you will not be able to, as ABC Insurance Company, sell your product in Connecticut unless you agree to cover all of these. So again, and again, this is a great story in the Hartford Business Journal. And I will post the link to it. But the headline summarizes it. Businesses are warning that health insurance requirements are driving up premiums, fueling calls for scrutiny. Now, to those businesses and business owners and HR people and insurance people, I say, well, who'd you vote for? And the story features actually a Democratic legislator who's been on this show before, State Rep. Carrie Wood, Democrat Rocky Hill. And even she says, as part of the committee, the insurance committee, the General Assembly, even she says this is getting out of control. And yet nothing is going to be done about it. That's not her saying it. It certainly sounds like, if you read this story, that there is mandate after mandate after mandate after mandate. So what happens is, you know, the Democratic majority in the General Assembly, because they're trying to curry favor with somebody, or some group of voters or some interest group, they say, well, okay, here, we understand you're concerned about this, so we'll make sure that insurance coverage in the state has to cover it. Yeah, and who pays for that, Einstein? And again, you wonder why in every single one of these surveys that comes out year after year, month after month, from Wallet Hub, like we saw last week, from CNBC, from Fox Business, from the Wall Street Journal, from Market Watch, they all say, as far as business friendliness goes, Connecticut sucks. And it's not just business. It's driving up your auto insurance. It's driving up your health insurance. It's driving up your fire, theft, protection, and flooding insurance. Because the majority in Hartford, who will more than likely be resoundingly reelected again in November, they don't care. And if you just say to you, if you're sitting there going, oh, here he goes, whining about the Democrats again, okay, read the story. Even Representative Wood, who's been on this show, even she's upset. And you know why she's upset? Because they can't even get a working group of legislators together to take a look and say, geez, are these mandates really worth the money they're charging people? What is wrong with that? This is how blanked up we are in this state. Now, it is mind-numbing. And now you, instead of trying to lower costs, which the Democratic majority never does, Paul, that's unfair. It's unfair? Again, come on in. The water's fine. 333-9422. You tell me, when was the last time any Democratic legislators did anything together, a news conference, a signed letter, an initiative with the governor to lower business costs, to lower insurance costs for people of Connecticut, to lower gasoline costs for people of Connecticut, to lower electric costs. Nothing, nothing, nothing. They do nothing. You know what they're working on now? Protecting Connecticut residents from ICE and federal authorities. I kid you not. Go to the Hartford Current. Go to Hearst. Go to the Connecticut News Junkie. Go to the Connecticut Mirror. Now they're worried about ICE again. Now, again, this is the same state that won't honor ICE detainers. And because of that, some deviant sexual pervert was released by Connecticut into the community again last January. And ICE had to go get him. Many of those who govern us in Hartford are not serious individuals. They're not. They kowtow. They get on their knees to people and they kiss their rear ends for votes. And we have the same problems over and over and over again. They do nothing to make your lives better and cheaper financially. They lop on fees. They lop on additional taxes. And they won't even take a look. Never mind, do anything about it. They won't even take a look and say, hey, maybe some of these mandates are not worth it. It is mind-numbing that people will know this and they'll vote for it again and again and again. What is wrong with people? Do you hate Trump and the Republicans so much that it will cost you? Because that's what you're doing.
Well, I'll never vote for a Republican again in the state. Okay,
so by voting for the other side, man, you got a spine, boy, and you just reach deeper into your pocket. Explain to me that. I don't understand it. You knowingly vote for the side every 2 years that does nothing to make your lives easier. Nothing. If they do, you tell me, what have they done? For 40 years. I don't know. I can't figure it out. Help me out here. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. I don't get it here. Why do legislators in Hartford that continuously and continually raise taxes, raise fees on business, nickel dime you and I and everything else, refuse to be flexible on utility costs, have no plan for utilities for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. How do they keep getting reelected? Is their constituency just dumb? Do they hate Republicans and hate Trump so much that they will then choose to take more money out of their pocket? Are they paying for their hatred? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And now you have one of their own here, and I'm sure she's going to get read the riot act. Carrie Wood, Democrat State Rep, Rocky Hill, co-chair of the General Assembly's Insurance and Real Estate Committee, says she hears the same thing about health insurance in Connecticut when she meets legislators from across the country. Listen to this. And she's been on the show before. I'll try to get her on in the next few days. She hears something. She says, quote, I go to national conferences and talk to my colleagues in other states, and Connecticut is known as the most mandate-rich state. In other words, they put mandates on what every type of insurance has to cover. Do they make financial sense? Oftentimes, no. But the very powerful Senate Democrats and the Insurance Committee, They mandate that. You have to understand that. And this is what I'm asking you. Do you understand that? You may hate every Republican from here to Timbuktu, but do you understand that the people you vote for are taking advantage of your hatred because they're treating you as an ATM? Do you understand that? Now, you may be all right with that. You may say, hey, I'll pay all these fees. I don't care. I'm retired, or I can afford my insurance, or my insurance is from my union pension plan, whatever. But it's so bad in Hartford. It's so unworkable there that here you have a member of the General Assembly who is saying, hey, we don't look good to the other states in the country. The story continues here. Business groups have long criticized Connecticut's large and growing list of mandated benefits. In other words, those are benefits that a policy has to cover before it can be sold here. Arguing they add to insurance coverage costs, particularly for, ding, 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 small employers. Again, and we wonder why, in the survey that came out last week of business-friendly states, Connecticut once again sucks. Some lawmaker, now listen to this. This is how the majority in Hartford, this is the degree to they take you and I for fools. Some lawmakers have pushed for greater scrutiny and transparency, including requiring, now this is like economics 101. Remember when you first heard the phrase cost-benefit analysis, meaning does the cost you're paying for something justify the benefits you get out of it? Well, apparently those three words together, cost-benefit analysis, are verboten in Hartford. Some lawmakers have pushed for greater scrutiny and transparency, including requiring cost-benefit analyses of existing benefits and any proposed additions. The bill last year to create that review process did not pass. Do you understand this? They couldn't even, I want you to know this, because come November, you'll be going, oh, state rep, so-and-so, whatever. No. Do you understand it's so bad in Hartford, according to a majority Democrat, that they won't even create a commission or a group to say, hey, let's take a look at these insurance mandates, and is the cost not worth the economic hardship it's causing on businesses and individuals? And you wonder why your insurance is so expensive in this state. You wonder why. Because the majority in Hartford sits there. Not only do they let it happen, they encourage it. But you're too wound up about Donald Trump to care. You're too, oh, but I can't. All right, fine. I'm not telling you you got to care about Trump on the local level, but do you hate Donald Trump and all Republicans so much that you're voting to raise your taxes, raise your electric bill, and raise your insurance costs? Is that okay? Tell me, please, how that makes any sense. Tell me. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Tell me that. Explain to me how you would rather vote for somebody that costs you more money than vote for the other party who can at least slow this stuff down.